Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast, where we talk about Blizzard Entertainment and its many games, and then occasionally some other things. If you like us going on off topic, we had a pre-show, which we could do that on quite a bit. Today's was interesting, pretty off topic-y. With me again, as is usually the case, Joe and Liz, who are the masterminds and geniuses who make this whole thing work while I gibber on like a maniac. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about this week. I'm just going to go straight into it, I guess. Cataclysm Classic is going to be out on May 20th, if you are waiting to see what that's going to be. And the pre-patch is going to be the end of this month, April 30th. Again, this is, you know, it's not unexpected for there to be almost a month-long pre-patch, in this case, 20 days or so. I don't know. I do not know how to feel about Cataclysm Classic. I really don't. I think, oddly enough, if we're talking WoW Classic, it's the season of discovery that has my intention. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what about you guys? Liz, Joe? We'll go with Liz first.
I agree with you. Season of discovery is doing so many interesting things right now. But I'm tempted by Cataclysm Classic. Because back in, you know, ye olden days when Cataclysm was shiny and new, I quit the game during Cataclysm. I was super burned out. My guild had just dissolved. And I was playing a paladin. Paladins, like, got turned upside down and inside out when Cataclysm launched. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I don't have anyone to play with. And I quit the game. So I never played Cataclysm when it was current content. And, you know, maybe that'd actually be interesting to go back and play Cataclysm as it rolled out. Now that I am older and wiser, maybe. And just experience that. Experience the rollout for the first time, actually, because I was just never there for this. But I don't know where I would find the time to, like, just buckle down and play a Cataclysm Classic.
That's a tough one. Joe, anything?
I mean, I don't have to worry about it. I will not be playing Cataclysm Classic.
Big time saver.
Yeah, I've made my opinion known on the podcast about it, I think, a few times, and I know some of our listeners vehemently disagree with me. And that's fine. It's not for everybody. It's definitely not for me. So the problem that I say this with Classic a lot is with the different phases, I've been there, done that. I've done that thing already. And it's not what interests me about old Warcraft anymore. What interests me are stuff like the Seasons of Discovery, specifically because it's taking things that I knew and modifying them or doing something new or different or interesting with it. I lived through Cataclysm. I did my time. And also Cataclysm is an expansion outside of raiding with Matt for a little while was a not great experience for me as far as a player goes socially. For whatever reason, that was the time where I hit the like critical mass of trolls and everything else. And I don't know if you remember this, but that was back during the height of our website when I was doing a relatively sparse article because it was only whenever it was we had something or we needed something to run. I would do it. It came from the pug, and it was always about the experience of pugging in the various content. And whatever reason, like Cataclysm was just effing awful for me, my experience with pugging.
I've told you guys the story about the paladin tank who had an outright racist macro, like straight up racist.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what his macro was as much as I remember the shock on everybody's voices when he triggered that thing, and they were like, "Nope!" Like people dropped out so fast. I only managed to get out like second, and I was the healer on that run. So it was like, one of the rogues dropped it. I'm like, yeah, I'm gone. Have fun with that. I kind of have to agree with Joe on Cataclysm, at least in that regard.
Hopefully people will have a better experience this time around.
I absolutely don't think the thing about this that we've always said is that this you can't go home again. This is not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that's good. Because it's very unlikely that Liz is going to have the experience we had. Because keep in mind that the growing pains that Cataclysm had, that we forget that it was coming off of Wrath of the Lich King.
Mm-hmm.
Wrath of the Lich King for better or for worse, was the single most popular the game ever got. Mm-hmm. It was the high watermark. And people coming off that, going to Cataclysm, Cataclysm is different. They changed the talent system. They squished gear. They changed a bunch of stuff. And a lot of people who went into Wrath of Lich King partially because they knew who Arthas was and they knew who the Lich King was and they were really excited about finally getting to fight him, well, they didn't know who Deathwing was because mm-hmm. there weren't as many, Warcraft 2 players. You know, he comes up in Warcraft 2. He's not that big a deal. Like, the game where he sits there smoking a hookah never even came out. He's in a couple of books that were not the most popular books either. So yeah, I feel like a lot of people didn't really know what to make of Deathwing. A lot of us were like super excited because he's such a big lore figure, but if you didn't really know the lore, and you just knew the like Warcraft 3 stuff, then who is this guy? Why do we care? And
he's everywhere. Yeah. Why is he burning me when I'm trying to like work on like leveling my alt and
all
this other stuff, right? Like, yeah, I get you.
And combine that with the fact that they did so much redesign of the world. And they've never done that before. Yeah. And they've never done that before. We're used to them doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like they throw in new quests and change stuff around all the time. Mm-hmm. But in Cataclysm is the first time that like Gilneas is here now. And now it's gone. You know, but you've got Kazan. Oh, no, you don't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There was a lot of churn. A lot of people didn't really know what to make of it. And I think that in this case, going back to it like blind, like you are, you'll get a different experience just because you won't be playing it with a bunch of people who don't know what's happening.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that means they'll be a little more tolerant of it. I like to think so.
You never know.
I do remember too, that we did the previous site. We did a thing where we went in and did a dungeon on the PTR, not the PTR, the actual beta. We did it on the beta, and that was hilarious to tank. Because nobody had any idea what they were doing. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think people are going to be relatively, even though this stuff will be different, there's going to be a lot more people who know what's going on. So that's my take on it.
And the thing about Cataclysm is, when it first came out, Cataclysm was not my thing. But, you know, maybe it's your thing. Maybe it's someone else's thing. And if it's your thing, I'm glad you can play it. If you're someone like me and you didn't play during Cataclysm or you joined the game later, you can go and experience this for the first time and maybe you will love it. But yeah, the big problem with WoW Classic is a lot like what Joe said. I don't feel the need to go back and redo stuff that I've already done, but Season of Discovery is super interesting because it's different, and Cataclysm, it's kind of got me interested. I just don't know where I can find the time to like level a classic character all the way up to Cataclysm levels. Because I haven't. I have like someone who's maybe level 5 and I haven't stuck with it.
Yeah, so that is the issue, yeah.
That's tough.
But since we talked about it, we should probably move on to a segue to the WoW Classic Season of Discovery Phase 3 that rolled out last week on the 4th.
Yes.
And one of the things that the Discoverer's Delight XP buff is still rolling, I guess. That's pretty cool. They changed some stuff, right? Because you say here that they did, so I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, they actually hotfixed Discoverer's Delight just this week. So, and they continued it. They introduced it in Phase 2. They continued it into Phase 3 with players from level 1 to level 39. That was the 40 was the previous level cap, so would get plus 100% experience. So you're going up to 39, you get double experience all the time, and a huge boost in how much gold you're earning from quests. And but in Phase 3, players from level 40 to 49, the new level cap is 50, will get a plus 75% experience increase. So it's like you get a big experience boost catching up, you know, to the current Phase 3 content, but then you get a pretty big experience boost after that, leveling through the new content. It used to be, when they first launched Phase 3, which wasn't that long ago, it was last week, it was a plus 50% for levels 40 to 49, and they've already buffed it. They've buffed it to 75%. They didn't think it was enough. They thought that the new Nightmare Incursion event was giving too much experience and overshadowing everything else. So they nerfed Nightmare Incursion experience a little bit, but they buffed overall experience, you know, a significant amount. From 50% experience boost to 75%, that's a pretty big chunk.
Yeah, so they're basically trying to prevent the thing that happened during Legion, where the one event, the invasions, were so powerful for leveling that nobody did anything else.
Yeah. But so it's also, just as looking at Classic in general, it's really appealing because you can play Season of Discovery and you can really zoom through the levels, because Classic leveling is it's kind of a grind, which is one of those reasons that I'm looking at Cataclysm Classic and saying, you know, that might be fun, but that's a time commitment. And look at Season Discovery, and it's like, you know, they just want you to play. They just want you to go in and play and zoom. Yeah. You want to play? Okay, you can have double experience all the time, anywhere. It's like, great. I can just log in and play.
Okay. I also wanted to ask about the Warlock pet. Does the Warlock pet, it's like it loots for you or something? I was trying to read the post about it.
Go ahead. The imp, right? Like the imp does the weird stuff?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Yes, there's a new imp pet, the Explorer Imp. Okay, I initially also thought what you were thinking, that it would go and loot things for you. It does not do that. I'm sorry, it doesn't do that.
That is unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. But, you know, while you are playing your Warlock, you can wander around the world with your little Explorer Imp with you, and sometimes you'll see a portal. And you can talk to your little Explorer Imp and say, "Hey, imp, go through this portal." And the imp will be like, "Sure." And then for a certain period of time, you can't summon your imp because he's gone through the portal. He's wandered off. But then you can summon him back eventually, and he'll give you like a sack of goodies. He'll give you a little sack of treasure that it can have some loot in it. It has a chance of dropping the rune of the Felguard, which gives you a Felguard in Classic WoW, and various green and blue gear. And it's like, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's just...
The interesting thing is how you get it, too, right? Like, you have a chance of getting it from just, like, using Drain Soul on an enemy monster. Yeah. And each time you kill something with it, there's a high chance that you get an Explorer Soul, which teaches you how to get the Explorer Imp, which is... That's kind of rad. I like that. That's neat. Like, oh, you're an adventurer, eh? Give me a soul, now you're an imp.
Yeah, it's one of those things that makes... It's one of the things that makes Season of Discovery so cool and so fun, because this is weird and different, and now suddenly you just have another imp now, and it's just going to collect treasure for you.
Well, treasure with an air quote, because some of the stuff you can get in there is like, here's a broken binding bracer, here's some burning pitch, otherwise known as the original flaming poo of WoW. You might get some milk. maybe you'll get some dollar on sharp cheddar.
I don't know if you want to trust milk that an imp has fetched for you out of a demonic portal.
I feel like you're trusting the imp to go through the demonic portal without your like direct supervision. You kind of already are accepting a certain amount of like risk here.
Yeah, but you don't have to be like, you know, cavalier with it. You can gauge your risk and go, okay, I'm willing to take gold from you. I'm not necessarily willing to drink something that you come through with. I don't know where you got that milk. I don't know if that milk was on a body. By the way, this is a problem I've always had with World of Warcraft. Eating food off of dead people.
They're dead. You don't know the food didn't do it.
What?
They're dead. Oh. You don't know that the food didn't do it.
I don't know how they died. What also gets me is, though, is like, as my wife was pointed out, milk don't keep that long unless you ferment it if you don't have refrigeration. And fermented milk, if you ask, go ahead and ask, you know, the Mongol hordes, fermented milk will kick your butt. It is one of the most alcoholic things you can drink. It is crazy strong because the alcohol process absorbs sugars and turns them into alcohol. Milk is loaded with sugars. So fermenting milk is like it's an express trip to rocket fuel.
Well, isn't that like what Genghis Khan and them used to do too?
Yeah. They still drink it. It's still huge. And it's just, it is like rocket fuel. It is straight up like this side of Everclear. You're not going to get much stronger than that stuff. So yeah, I've always been like, this milk is either lukewarm, regular, unpasteurized milk that has been on this person's body for a while, or it's rocket fuel. Either way, I'm not touching it. But then again, I play a warrior, so I don't need to drink anything. Warriors apparently never get thirsty. In World of Warcraft, your warrior is just never thirsty. I thirst only for blood, I guess.
You know,
regardless.
I'm going to go totally off topic for a second here, but I've been playing warrior. I'm going off topic in a different direction because I've been playing my warrior alt lately. And man, is it just me? Y'all have to give me your opinion. Or is charge like the most satisfying button in the entire game to press? You just
no, 100% is.
You're gonna knock me back. Well, no, I'm gonna press this button.
Charge and leap are very satisfying.
The thing about charge too is charge used to be something you had to wait till level 10 to get, and then you had to wait. Like you could only use it out of combat. And over the years, Sanity came into the world and they were like, no, just charge whenever you want. You don't have to have a separate ability to charge in combat. It's just charge. And so now charge is this happy, fun button that lets you run up and make new friends. You see a new friend over there. He looks like he needs a hug, possibly a very pointy hug. So you charge to him and you give him as many pointy hugs. Maybe he's got like a headache or something. So you just whack him on the head a few dozen times. Then you repeat with the next guy. It's great. You're like the welcome wagon. At one point, I remember even saying, I think this was back when the last place closed down. I wrote a post saying something to the effect of, you know, you are the weapon as a warrior. You're the projectile. You are literally shooting yourself at the enemy. You don't shoot them with guns. You shoot them with you. Just boom. Hi, here I am. Whack, whack, whack. Yeah, charge is great. Leap is great. Anything that allows you to move like that. And I say this, you know, this is not me dogging on paladins. Paladins have a lot of cool stuff. But it always feels with paladins like, you know, I'm chasing you. Stop running away. I'm going to have to hit you with a hammer from over here. Fine, I'll get on my elephant. Fine, here. Whack, whack. Oh, he's running away again. with a warrior, charge, charge, hamstring, charge. You know, you're not getting away. Charge, hamstring. You're not going anywhere. Stop running. I'm going to be right on you.
As a paladin, you do have to throw hammers at people a lot. I mean, if anyone runs away, you have a limited toolbox, and your toolbox is a hammer.
Yeah, and you're throwing hammers at people, and you're getting on your like ram or horse or I don't remember the Kodo if you're a Tauren, whatever, a big shiny bird if you're a blood elf, and chasing them for like 3 seconds, and then you're like, oh, it's my horse ran away again. Now I'm gonna have to throw hammers at you until my horse comes up. ow, ow, ow. I'm being attacked by the, like, you know, Home Depot. Oh god. So yeah, I do think charges him. But to try and actually get this somewhat back on track, this week, it's the 9th as we're recording this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
I had to check.
Yeah, in 3 days, so probably around Friday. I don't remember what day, but the 12th of April, Diablo 3 is getting season 31, which is We talked about it last week. It's the one with the Herodric Cube Mania, where you can basically just take any three powers you want. They don't have to be dependent on your slots. So you could have three ring powers or three amulets or three swords or whatever. Just any three powers you want, which does allow for some fun meta builds and some kooky shenanigans in terms of, like, you know, coming up with powers that you would not normally have access to. I enjoyed it the first time, and so I think it's cool they're bringing it back. But, I mean, it is, like, you know, this is, at this point, Diablo 3 has got so much in it. Like, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of systems. I don't know that I have the mental fortitude to actually sit down and plot out all the permutations of all these abilities to get to my ideal build. I mentioned choice paralysis again today, and it's like, well, you want choice paralysis? Okay, first, get up to, like, level 70. Okay, now, start leveling your Paragon points. Oh, wait, have you finished the Altar of Rites yet? And by the way, you can now get these legendary powers in any order you want. It's like, help me. Oh, God, this is a lot. But I still think it's kind of cool. What do you go ahead, Liz?
I mean, and it's like, you have this, and you also have Diablo 4, which I, okay, gonna admit, I have yet to get a character to level 100 in Diablo 4. I just haven't. I haven't made it all the way to level 100. And I have played a lot of Diablo 4. I have never gotten all the way there to max level. So you've got that. You've got Diablo 3 right now, which I remember playing this theme when it first came around. I really enjoyed it. You could make some fun builds. But who has the time? We've got Cataclysm Classic coming up. I would like to play that, but there's no way I have the hours in the day. Oh, and by the way, I haven't finished Baldur's Gate 3. By the way, I haven't finished Cyberpunk 2077. By the way, Star Wars Outlaws is coming out in August. You know, it's like, how do we make the time to play all of these games?
Yeah.
Every game, every genre is like crushing us with more games, more battle passes, more seasonal content, more things you will miss out on unless you do it right now. Now. And where's the time? Where are the hours in the day?
Yeah. I mean, do you want to eat? You know, you kind of have to make money. And the other thing too is, like, while all that stuff's happening and games have become, like, you know, engagement driven, there's also stuff like, have you guys heard of Songs of Silence yet?
No.
Okay. It's an RTS that's coming out. It's kind of an RTS. It's sort of like an RTS and a CRPG had a baby, and then that baby ran away with a roguelite and a 4X game and a kind of a polycule. And I don't know how they got a kid from all three of them, but nevertheless, that's what Song of Silence feels like to me. It's gorgeous. You should look it up. It's a beautiful looking game. It's got those elements that are like kind of it's got a pretty interesting story from what I can tell. I have not gotten to play it yet, but I've gotten a look at the story a little bit. Pretty interesting story about these, like, you're the refugees from the city that's been destroyed by the evil crusade that wants to put an end to the light. I mean, the song it's called, which is like the kind of the holy thing of this world. They want to destroy it and create silence so that they're no longer at the mercy of fate. They want to be like the masters of the world. So they want to destroy and create the Songs of Silence instead. Blah, blah, whatever. Really pretty, interesting mechanics where you're kind of like, it really does, when I look at it, it feels like you're playing kind of some kind of demented mashup of Civilization and World of Warcraft. Not World of Warcraft, Warcraft 3, and at the same time, also playing Dead Cells. Like, and I don't know if it's going to be good or not, but I do know that it's going to take me time to know if it's good or not, and I don't know if I have the time. You know, I don't sleep enough as it is. I cannot just carve out another 4 hours of sleeplessness. I'll die. Like, you cannot go without sleep to this extent. And meanwhile, there's also a game called New Arcline coming out, which is, it's basically Arcanum 2. It's a steampunk meets magic game where, like, a plague is being spread, and it's this weird metal plague that turns people into metal, and you've got to figure out what's going on with that, and you've got all these, like, set pieces, and it's a straight-up CRPG, and I'm, like, sitting there looking at this going, oh, my God. At any other time of my life, I would have been so thrilled. But when am I going to get to play this? How am I going to play it? And yeah, I feel like the engagement metric-a-thon that we're on right now has gotten to the point where it actively detracts from my enjoyment. Like, I like games where I can play them until I'm done with them and put them away and not feel like I'm missing my chores. You know, I really miss being mm-hmm. able to do that. And it is just, but you know, regardless, I've blathered on a bit. So
like I'm sitting here right now thinking, okay, could I do the podcast while also logging on and doing my Plunder Storm for the day? Because I have to do Plunder Storm every day because I want those cool pirate transmogs, mm-hmm. but I don't actually enjoy Plunder Storm, but you still have to like carve out enough time to do enough Plunder Storm to get like a level of renown every day. And I'm thinking, could I multitask this odious chore that I am making myself do to get video game pixels? And it's kind of exhausting.
Yeah. Joey's been really quiet, so I don't know if he just doesn't want to talk about it or not.
I got nothing to add.
Okay. Then we will move on to talking about the Diablo 4 Season 4 PTR. Briefly, we're going to talk about it because it ended today as we're recording this. I got on there a couple of times, and a lot of the stuff I knew I thought I was going to like, I did like. Like, for instance, the new codex that just has all your enchants in it, and that you learn more as you learn more, and they just go in there, and it gets all of them in time, and you know it's a drastic improvement. I don't know how I feel about the stuff on gear because I didn't get a chance to get very far on that, but I do think it's overall a decent change. Like I feel like the changes that we saw in the PTR are good changes for Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they go far enough. I feel like sometimes it still feels sometimes like you have to stop doing what you're doing because you know your bags are completely cluttered with garbage, and the garbage mm-hmm. is supposed to be magical weapons and armor. So it feels weird being like, oh god, this thing, tossing this magical axe over my shoulder. When am I going to get good stuff? That thing's pretty good. No. But Joe, I don't think you're doing Diablo right now.
No, I'm currently not. It's one of another case of too many games, not enough hours in a day.
Yeah. So Liz,
oh, seriously.
You probably haven't played it recently, but you're fairly conversant with it. What did you think of this? Just do a quick one before we move on to something else. What do you think is the takeaway from the PTR if you got to do anything?
And I have not played on the PTR, but I mean, from what I've read on the forums, it sounds like testing went pretty well. I mean, it sounds like all of the changes are good. And I agree with you, Matt. Maybe some of them don't go far enough. Maybe we haven't gone far enough on gear. But I think it's a better idea for Blizzard to maybe take some incremental steps.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Instead of just like going all out and making gear totally different, gear's going to be real different starting in Season 4. But, you know, this may not be perfect, but these are a lot of pretty big steps in the right direction to making gear more impactful and easier to use and easier to understand.
I think the easier to understand thing needs to be rephrased. Restated, because that is the big takeaway for me is no more of that. I'm going to actually look at, since I'm streaming as I'm playing Diablo 4 here, I'm going to look at some of the gear here. Yeah, like looking at this, 7.4 control impaired duration reduction, 16.0 damage reduction from distant enemies, 39.7% poison resistance. It's like, yikes. I feel like we could have made this simpler. And it's just, you know, damage to injured enemies, lucky hit chance, physical damage over time. When injured, your potion also grants 45% movement speed for 3 seconds, potion drop rates, shatter resistance, damage reduction, and then ranks of charge. It's like, yeah, there's a lot on gear right now. And I do think that making it so there's less stuff on gear, but also making it so there's less stuff like life regeneration while not damaged recently, or damage to stunned enemies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You know, there's some abilities that are like, you know, is that good?
Yeah, when you're comparing things, okay, let's see. This gives me bonus damage to stunned enemies. This gives me bonus damage to vulnerable enemies. This gives me bonus damage to when I'm using blood skills, or this gives me bonus damage when I crit with bone skills. And it's like, okay, which it's like you've got to have a calculus thing going on to figure out which one of these is actually better for your damage.
Yeah, like the sword, the axe I'm using here, I'm going to read these to you real fast, but it's got 84% damage to healthy enemies. So I remember before I had damage to wounded enemies, now I've got damage to healthy enemies. So it's like, okay. Then it's got 36.0% damage to crowd-controlled enemies, 22.5% damage to bleeding enemies, 39.0% damage while berserking. It's like, yikes! It's like I'm playing Jenga with damage that I do. Seriously, could, you know, I think that simplifying it, it was one of the better moves they could have made. I just generally feel like they'd kind of lost the plot with affixes, and I think it's a good move to stabilize. Anything else before we move on to the thing that we probably don't like as much?
Go for it. Go for it.
Diablo 4 Fortunate Finds. That's today, I think. Personalized sales coming to the cash shop with discounts up to 50%. And I don't know what they're doing here. So, Liz, can you explain this to me? Because I am very confused by this post that they made. I'm looking at it now. It's Pez Radar. Usually he's pretty clear, but I don't get it.
I mean, a while back they said they were looking at the shop and looking at pricing adjustments. And when they said that, I kind of thought, oh, some of these prices that are really high, they're thinking about lowering them to more modest prices that maybe I would consider spending. And that is not exactly the case, because the $65 horse in the store, still in the store. The $30 portal pack that lets you change the color of your portals, still in the store. But what this Fortunate Finds thing is sales that are personalized specifically to you, that you will log on and find these custom personalized sales. And they'll just be in the store. You'll have some sales discounts up to 50% for you. I logged on this morning to see, okay, what's this look like? Do I have any cool sales? Is there anything I super need to buy now that we have all these cool sales? And, okay, I have to explain that on my Diablo account, there are 4 necromancers. There's nothing else. There are 4 necromancers. Those are the only characters I have on my entire account. I have not played another character. I'm a necromancer. So I logged on, I looked at these sales, and the first one is a set of armor for druids. And I'm kind of like, okay, if you're personalizing these to me, you are doing a very bad job. It is usually a $20 armor set, and it is now only $10. And it's like, so you have customized this sale specifically for me, who only has necromancer characters on this account, and you were selling me druid-only armor for $10.
If it makes you feel any better, I just looked at mine, and I got I got 2 barbarian things.
Oh, see? That's great.
Death Toll, which is prestige barbarian equipment. It's now 1,200 instead of 2,400 to whatever the store currency thing is. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's like $24 to $12. That's pretty much the conversion.
There's the Wraith Lord's Charger, which is a horse that's down 40% from 2,000 to 1,200.
I mean, yeah, it seems like there's a good variety of discounts. I don't know where the customization, because these are supposed to be personalized sales.
I got a necromancer.
I
don't have any necromancers, so that's interesting. Go ahead.
I also had this item on sale. You explain it for us.
It's Kid Baphomet, which is Baphomet's the name of a demon from the Middle Ages. He was basically part of the trials of the Knights Templar. So it's a generic Satan-y sounding name, but it's literally a billy goat kid. It's a little goat that you wear on your back over like a skull backpack. And it's just looking really bemused in the picture. Like, okay, I guess I live up on this guy's back now. And the 20% discount means it goes from 1800 to 1440. And I'm like, that's not enough to get me to buy this. I'm like,
yeah, that's $14. It's $14 yeah. for a goat you were carrying on your back.
I mean, you got some other stuff too.
It's mostly the goat. It's like the goat and some tattoos and maybe a ghost.
It's a cute goat. I'm not arguing it's not cute. But yeah, you've got your resurrection thing, which is like, you know, not particularly interesting to me. There's the Scythe of Amun, you know, Amun being a goat god and he's a ram god in Egyptian mythology. There's the Horned Fiend, Cosmetic Focus, which is literally just like a glowy demon head thing. And then there's an emote where you actually say, it's called That's Bad. And it's like you summon a little demon goat. Okay, and then you kill him. So, okay, yeah. No, thank you. But, you know, hey, it's nice. But yeah, it's a necromancer only thing. I was like totally thinking, oh, wow, it's all barbarian stuff. But no, it's two barbarian things, a mount, which anybody can ride, and then a goat and a backpack. But, I mean, if I wanted the two barbarian sets, I'd be pretty happy. I mean, it's cheap. But I don't really want... I mean, cheap compared to $24.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Cheaper.
In quotation marks. but yeah, it's not awful or nothing. I do like the Lion of Ariat set, but I don't like it enough to spend the money to get it. Because it's still $15.
It does not harm me to have these sales in the game. But it's also still... The way they had phrased this thing coming had gotten my hopes up, and I should know better than to get my hopes up about anything about the video game industry.
Yeah, it's like yet again, it's another Simpsons quote, because The Simpsons has been on the air for like 30 years. You've raised and then dashed my hopes quite expertly, sir. Yeah, so it is one of those things. Joe, I feel like I already know how you feel about it, but I'm going to give you the opportunity.
I mean, I'm disheartened by it. Like, I mean, my commentary, I'm not going to blast anybody or complain about it or throw leaves off the ground like Sasquatch in an angry, like, fit of rage. I'm just disappointed. Like, again, I'm one of those people that I am a prime suspect of, if I like something, I will want to give you money and I will try to look for ways to give you money when it comes to video games. Like, I've been really playing Guild Wars 2 lately, and you know what I've done? I've spent money in Guild Wars 2 because I was like, I'm having a ton of fun. I haven't given them any money in like 5 years. Maybe I'll, you know, buy a little something here and there. And they had stuff that didn't feel predatory and was like, oh, here you go. Here's some cool crap. You know, I wish that real money things in video games didn't feel like they were trying to capitalize on the FOMO stuff, which, again, that's what this is doing. Let's be honest. Oh, limited time only, your personal discount shop. But you got to get it now because you never know when you're going to get it again. It's just predatory, trying to prey on people's FOMO. And I don't know, like, maybe some people are happy with this. I am definitely just not one of those people.
Alrighty. I think we're all in agreement. So quickly, we'll move on to the War Within Collector's Edition is in pre-orders now. It starts on the 17th, actually.
Yeah, pre-orders.
When I say 17th. Now, I mean in a week. So not quite now. But yeah, on the 17th, you're going to get it. Starts at 10 a.m. Pacific. It'll start. Pre-orders will start being available. It ain't cheap. Nope. The Collector's Edition is real pricey. I think I feel okay saying that. Go ahead, Liz.
We don't actually have a price on it, I don't think, but...
It's never cheap. The last couple expansions, it was not cheap.
It's not going to be cheap, I can guarantee that.
But yeah, they don't actually have a price up, that is true.
I mean, the Dragonflight one is still sitting at $129.
Yeah, so it's not likely to be cheaper than that.
No.
That feeling you have is you contemplating, you know, do I need this kidney? And the answer is yes.
You need kidney. You know, I mean, if I'm gonna spend money on the Diablo store, or if I'm gonna buy a WoW's collector edition, like a this is the 20th anniversary of the game, it's gonna be about when this is coming out, and yeah, you got this.
I know.
If I'm gonna spend money on some stupid, ridiculous video game thing, it's gonna be that collector's edition. I just know it.
Yeah, and you know, whilst it is very expensive, likely more so than the last one, but even if it's exactly the same, it's pricey. But at least it's, you know, done it one and done.
But I guess here's my question: like, what is it in the collector's edition that really like sings to you? Because like the only thing that I usually go out of my way to try to grab, and I don't even bother with the collector's edition, is the art books. And usually, like, I'll find somebody. I'll find somebody like Matt or books. Somebody who doesn't want the art books, and I'll make a deal. But like, is there anything besides that really sings to you in the collector's editions?
Well, I don't know what this one has. I know that the collector's edition for Dragonflight, I got one for my wife because I know she loves mounts, and I wanted her to have the mount because she really enjoyed it. She still flies it then when she plays, but she doesn't very often at the moment because work is crazy. But yeah, it's not worth $120, but all the other stuff that you get, like the pet and so forth and so on, it's a nice thing to give to someone else.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not something I would buy myself, no.
But I'm talking about like and we're talking about the physical version here, because you can get like the mount and stuff like that. That's usually available in the digital version, or like, which is
one of the pricier digital versions, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still pricey, but I mean.
Yeah.
Well, no, the thing is that I bought the digital version first and then upgraded it to the physical one when I knew I was going to get the physical one. So, because like you pointed out, you know, the art book, although I don't think there was one in Dragonflight.
There was. There absolutely was, which Matt never sent me. I'm shaking my fist at you, Matt. Other Matt, not this Matt, Matticus.
Yeah, so like, I didn't even know if it existed. You're mad at me for not giving it to you? Jeez, man.
It did have some cool pins, like like
one for dragon each
themed. Yeah, those are pretty cool. One thing they include that I'm kind of like really about is a mouse pad. They continue to include a mouse pad, and it's like, did I need this in my life? Do I need?
I get what you're saying.
In the year. Yeah.
I get what you're saying, but you have no idea how many mouse pads I have pulled out of these boxes over the years because my current mouse pad was broken and I couldn't get my mouse to pick up the ground. It was like there was the mouse pad saved me. I have used them. I've used all of them going all the way back to the original version. I'm looking at all my collector's editions, which I stopped only around. I'd say the one I didn't buy was Shadowlands because they didn't have an art book. And I didn't buy myself one for Dragonflight. I think I'm done getting them. But yeah, I so many of those mouse pads got used. So I get you, but I kind of don't agree.
Go ahead, Liz.
I only own two collector's editions. I own Wrath of the Lich King and Dragonflight, and they're both sitting up here on a shelf at my desk. And it's just, it makes me happy to look at them. It makes me happy to have them. I don't need them, and I certainly don't need to go back and collect all of them, but it's kind of nice. And the Wrath and Dragonflight boxes go very well together. It pleases me.
Yeah,
the boxes are real pretty, quite frankly.
They really are. They're heavy. Indeed. They're definitely heavy, though, too. Like, I mean, I think I stopped getting the physical boxes in Battle for Azeroth. Like, I stopped getting them. One, I don't have space anymore. And while they look cool on a shelf, like I'm not, you know, streaming when need a really cool background or something like that anymore.
It is for you to enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. The one thing I wish they would do is I wish they would like going to the mouse pad thing. And I was thinking about this. One thing they could do that would really entice me to possibly like consider getting a physical edition again would be they've been doing these series of desk mats over the years. And I really like the desk mats. They're stitched. They're, you know, large enough. They're like, I think 36 inches wide or long. But they're like really cool art. And I love a good desk mat. It's just something I enjoy. I would probably not use it as a desk mat. I'd probably use it as like a TCG playmat or something like that. But if they were to upgrade the mouse pad from like, here's a little tiny mouse pad that nobody ever uses, or maybe somebody does, to like, here's a desk mat included in it, I'd be all about that life. Like, that would actually entice me to maybe consider picking up a physical version for, you know, again.
So. Okay. Since we've moved on to talking about mouse pads and desk pads, by the way, I like the desk thing. I think we should probably try to get to the Overwatch news, which is just that the Overwatch 2 Season 10 is, I want to say...
It's alive next, on the 16th, yeah.
Yeah, so next Tuesday. As we're recording this, it is the Tuesday before that Tuesday. So that's next week. Boom. You can go play Overwatch Season 10. I think a lot of people are interested in Venture, and I think that it'll be interesting to see how Venture plays with people who are, you know, not just testing it out, but actually playing it for real. And I think we did the cover collector's edition.
I will be reporting back by Tuesday, by the way.
What?
I will be reporting back on Venture on Tuesday, by the way.
All right, cool. That would be nice.
Inquiring minds want to know.
But we should also mention Hearthstone's Battleground Season 7, which Battleground Duos. I didn't know that this was coming out, so I got nothing. So Liz, if you could talk about it for a while, that'd be great.
So Battleground Duos announced at BlizzCon, and Blizzard has not talked about it since. Like, it hasn't. It just hasn't come up. There was a flashy announcement, and then it's just been silence. The kind of silence where you wonder if, have they forgotten about this? Is it maybe in some horrible development hell? Is it, what's going on? But
is it currently being made for the unannounced stealth, you know, survival game that never happened?
Yeah, I mean, when they announce something and then just don't talk about it, it's always, it gets a little worrying at some point. But they announced last week it's coming out with Battleground Season 7, which is coming out next week, which is really soon. Next week. That's how time works. Next week is really soon. It is due out on April 16th. So, Battlegrounds Duos is a co-op two-player Battlegrounds mode. Battlegrounds is usually, it's an eight-player, you know, no holds barred, everyone fights everyone. But in duos, you team up with a partner. And you are, it's like you're kind of both playing Battlegrounds, but you can do some things to work together and help each other. So you can pass cards to one another. So it can be year-round in Battlegrounds, and you can see a card come up and you're like, oh, well, my partner is working on this warband that could really use this card. So you could buy that card and pass it to them. But at the same time, Hearthstone doesn't have a lot of great communication options. So you're going to have to go in there and, you know, there's going to have to be, you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to watch, and teamwork's going to be, teamwork can make or break this. You could wind up with a terrible partner and you just, it's just like playing Battlegrounds solo, or you could wind up with a great partner and do some interesting things that you can't do in normal Battlegrounds matches. There are also some special heroes you can play in Battlegrounds duos, like Cho'Gall, everyone's favorite two-headed ogre. One player in this duos match would play Cho, and one player would play Gull, because, of course, you're the two heads of the two-headed ogre. But I think it's going to be interesting. I'm going to check it out. I don't know if it's going to suddenly become my preferred Battlegrounds playing mode, but I love it when Hearthstone tries new things. And Battlegrounds, really my favorite Blizzard game mode right now. I really love Battlegrounds. It's kind of my go-to. I have, you know, 10, 15 minutes to play something. I'm just going to fire up Battlegrounds, and I'll sit here and play Battlegrounds for a while. And I just enjoy it. It requires some focus, but not my entire focus. And sometimes that's the perfect kind of game. You can just, I can play for, you know, 15 minutes sometimes. If I'm playing very badly, it's less than that. If I'm playing very well, it's more than that. But, you know, it's a little fun. It's a little concentration. Sometimes it's the perfect game. So this is coming out next week with a new Battleground season. That also means a bunch of card changes for both duos and the standard Battlegrounds mode. Quests are leaving Battlegrounds again, which I'm kind of sad about. But spells, tavern spells, will remain in Battlegrounds for both duos and the solo game mode. And just going to shake things up. There will be a new reward track to progress through. I am looking forward to it. I'm excited. I'm as hyped as it is possible to get about a video game, and my ability to experience hype is pretty low. So I'm at my maximum level of hype about this.
Cool. And as you guys heard, next week, so get ready. I think at this point, though, we're going to try to get to a question because I don't think we have time for more than one, and I wanted to do this one the moment I saw it, so we're going to go there. If you've got a question for the show, as is always the case, you can email us, podcast@blizzardwatch.com, the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, three notes for this show, or you can just tell us to thumb wrestle for it. thanks on that one, buddy. Or you can go to our Discord server and you can leave the questions in the Q and podcast questions channel, which is for everybody. And you, anybody who listens to this podcast or frequents our site can absolutely hit that one up. Or you can go if you're a patron, which because, we love you guys. Speaky hugs. If you want to do that one, you can go to the Patreon Q and podcast questions channel. We do look there first because, again, you guys pay the bills. But this one is actually from somebody who works for us. This is from Dan. And what's the current fantasy version of Cyberpunk 2077? Massive world building, story-driven quests, modern graphics with voice acting and motion capture, other than BG3. I'm going to throw that one out to Joe first, and then Liz can come in, and then maybe I will if we have time.
Oh, geez. That is a
tough question.
That is a tough question. I don't know that there's really an equivalent to it. Like, I'm racking my brain. Like, I don't think there's a game that really does what Cyberpunk 2077 does in fantasy. Like,
I would argue that Cyberpunk, Baldur's Gate 3 doesn't do what Cyberpunk does.
No, it doesn't. I think there was wasn't Sony working on a game called Stellar Blade that was supposed to be similar to it? I know absolutely nothing about the game. I haven't looked into it. I know that the internet is ablaze about different stuff surrounding it, but I thought that was like supposed to be part of the goal, was to make it like some big open fantasy world stuff. I don't know. I don't know that there is one.
Liz?
I had trouble with this one mainly because I couldn't think of a fantasy game. And there's nothing exactly like Cyberpunk out there, but you can look at games like Baldur's Gate, which are heavily story-driven games with great voice acting. And I mean, Dan asked this question. My mind went back to Dragon Age Inquisition. And then I'm like, wait, Dragon Age Inquisition was released in 2014.
It's not really an open world. Yeah, it's not an open world.
It's not an open world, but
Thinking about it, what about Elden Ring? I think that might actually be the closest.
It's closest, but I would say it is definitely not all the stuff that Dan's looking for. Is it fantasy? Yes. Yeah. Is it open world? Yes. Is it fully voiced? Not your protagonist. And yeah, that's the thing. That's a big difference between, say, Baldur's Gate or Elden Ring or Starfield, which was going to be a possible until I realized Starfield's not a fantasy game. But none of them have a voiced protagonist.
Well, even Baldur's Gate doesn't have a voice protagonist. You have the narrator, exactly. But you yourself do not have a voice. But you have so many great fleshed out characters that do have fantastic voice acting and animation. Oh,
yeah. There absolutely is. But even when you're playing one of those origin characters, they suddenly don't remember how to talk, which is, to me, irritating. I'm sorry. There are two things that I don't like about Baldur's Gate 3 that keep it from being my favorite game. One is that they don't have any kind of voice, even for characters that should have them, because they're right there. You've recorded dialogue from these people. And the number two is I don't like turn-based, but we've covered that to death.
I mean, maybe Witcher 3 might also be up there still, too, but I mean, that's an old game at this point.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We
anyone invite you to listen to our show?
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yeah, like I was going to say Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Or Valhalla.
Yeah, both of them are probably the closest you're going to get, but they're both pretty old. Valhalla is like 2019. Yeah. Odyssey's 2018.
And Witcher is 2015.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all are all more modern than I am with my 2014 Dragon Age Inquisition.
Oh, I was gonna bust Kingdoms of Amalur out, but A, protagonist not voiced. B, while there's some really good voice acting, some of it isn't that great. C, is it an open world? Yes, absolutely. Is it fantasy? Yes, absolutely. It's from 2012. You might as well say Skyrim at that point. You know, man. But yeah, it is really hard. Go ahead, Liz. I'm sorry.
One thing I thought of immediately was also Horizon Zero Dawn, Forbidden West, which are not fantasy game, but in some ways they have a little bit of that fantasy aesthetic it's kind of this post-apocalyptic world where everything is started from scratch, so you're fighting with bows and arrows and things like that instead of, you know, high technology, at least not all the time high technology.
I would say that Aloy is one of the few protagonists who's comparable to V, although it's more like Geralt in that you can't play as anything but Aloy. There's no options there. One of the reasons I prefer Cyberpunk to the Witcher games is because you can play V how you want V to look and act in a way that you can't with Aloy. But still, the Horizon games are great, and I would still allow them personally. But if we're trying to go by what Dan's put out here, I honestly, stuff that's coming out is more fantasy than stuff that has come out.
Yeah, like, I would agree with that.
Like the stuff that's been coming out the past couple of years, there has not been a lot of fantasy. And like, here's one that's coming out, Avowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. From.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
And that's coming from Obsidian, who have a pretty good reputation on the role-playing front. It's a straight-up fantasy first-person game. I don't know how open world it's going to be, but it's fantasy, it's first-person. It's going to have... I don't think... Obsidian doesn't really know how to not do at least a pretty good chunk of interesting, well-acted characters. But other than that, I mean, what's come out? I mean, Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader? I don't know if you can count... That's fantasy in that it's not, Warhammer, but
it's not the same kind of game. Rogue Trader, that's a sci-fi.
Yeah, all right. But it's got... Even if we let it pass just on that front, and I agree with you, it is sci-fi. But it also lacks the full voiced. There's no mocap. It's very much an old school CRPG in that it's like the Diablo camera angle. You know, it's not trying to do full motion captured movement stuff. Diablo has more of that because the cinematics are like that. Which is in fact something that you can only say for Baldur's Gate 3. Is that it's mocapped for cinematics. It's not mocapped when you're just playing it. That's just a little, it's a better looking sprite, but it's still just a sprite on an isometric group. You can move around more though.
Sure.
So yeah, it's real hard. This is a really hard question.
Yeah, but I think
Final Fantasy games maybe? Maybe Final Fantasy 7?
No. No, because they're not open world. It's
the new one is. The new one is.
Ish. It's not.
Seven remake or revamp or whatever the heck it's called. The new one is supposedly open world.
I would not classify it as that as somebody who's played it.
All right.
It still very much wants you to go and do the things, and it has a limited number of things you can go and do. There is. It's but that's a whole separate category. I think
what we're saying here is that we're not having an easy time coming up with anything within the past 5 years.
But I think you're right. And I think that what we're going to see, partially due to this, the wild success of Cyberpunk 2077, is a game that will be like that, but will either be fantasy or steampunk or something. Like that formula will, or that idea, that core concept will wind up getting applied to something else. It's just not here yet.
I mean, for all we know, Dreadwolf is going to be that.
Entirely possible.
Dreadwolf could be really good. Who knows?
I'll believe Dragon Age Dreadwolf exists when I am literally playing it and not a moment before.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's probably a good approach to take, quite frankly. But yeah, I wanted to answer this one because I didn't have an answer. And I was hoping that one of you two would. And Liz then responded, "I don't think I'm going to have anything for this." And I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be interesting," because I don't think Joe and I are pretty similar on game stuff. So if I'm having this hard of a time, I don't think Joe's just going to pull one out like nothing. And yeah, it really depends on how flexible are you with some of the words we're using. What is fantasy? And, you know, there's one game that I really wanted to recommend, but then I got the chance to play it at a friend's place, and it was so bad that I forgot the name. Forspoken? Forspoken. Is it Forspoken? The one where the girl goes from being homeless in New York to a fantasy world where she has magic powers?
That is Forspoken, yes.
Yeah. The part where she's homeless in New York is actually really interesting and touching and moving, and then she gets to the fantasy world and the game just, I don't know if it got drunk or what happened, but it's just being on itself. It's like, what happened to you? Why are you like this? So yeah, I don't. There was that sand one. Do you guys remember the sand one?
I don't know.
There was the one where they're like riding around on sand. Or no, that's not the one. That was the Legacy of something. My God, there's been so many, and some of them just sank so fast. I can't. 2023 was like a lot of games, guys. It was a lot of games.
Too many.
I don't know if I'll say too many, but I will say that, you know, a lot of games just didn't survive. So yeah, but I guess that's going to wrap us up. Do you guys want to take the time to do another one, or are you good stopping here?
I think we're good.
Okay. That means I turn to Joe and give him puppy dog eyes until he does the thing.
All right. Well, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions of patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast lighting community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance of having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you to Liz for bringing us that mind bender of a question from Dan. And thank you to Dan for asking it. And thank you to me, just because I never thank myself. Yeah. I really should be nicer to myself.
Thank you, Matt. I'm glad you're here with us. I'm also glad Joe is here with us, so I'm trying not to be biased here. I'm glad everyone is here with us.
Yeah.
Matt, Joe, and everyone listening at home. I'm glad for all of you.
And if y'all want to like continue being with us while you're doing it, we can go to the blog. We have an actual website called Blizzard Watch. I don't know if you know that. But you can go there, and there's like stuff there you can read.
We do have more stuff on everything we've talked about. Though I have spent some time trying to find someone who is cynical enough to write the article that I think we need to write about the new Diablo 4 store sales. So we don't have an article about that yet.
Hi, I'm cynical enough. You could have just put that in there and it would already be in existence. The only reason that I haven't written that was because I'm like, well, you know, someone's probably going to get it. If you need someone to write it, no one's doing it. I'll do it. I feel extremely cynical about this.
Yeah, my counterpart Liz is currently working on it, but we do not have an article up on the site. But sooner, Power of Cynicism will turn into an article, and
yes, it is.
It'll be great.
It is something we have here as cynicism. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. Thanks for being here with us on the show. Are we still hiring?
We are not.
We are not. Okay. So we don't have to tell you doing that.
I'm sorry. We got some great apps, and we've been going back and forth on who to choose, and I'm probably going to be emailing people this week. So unless I change my mind on which of these people I like best. Sorry. It's a really hard choice. It's so hard.
But since you don't have to worry about that, guys, you can just be thanked by us. And, you know, this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast, and we'll be back next week.